I'm very thankful to get to be with you all today. It's been a long time since I've been able to be with you, since I've been traveling and been out of town, and I'm so grateful each and every one of you have come. I hope you've come praying that the Lord will be with us, that we might enjoy a little bit of respite on this wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I'd like to read a few verses to you from John chapter 10, in the middle of a lengthy discourse, which is quite edifying and important for us to remember. Just beginning at verse 14, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." A lot of the things that the Lord Jesus said in this chapter, if you'll kind of look at it, you'll see that a lot of people there didn't understand what he was talking about. But I trust that we do. By the Spirit of God, we see that he is using a metaphor of himself as the great shepherd who loves his sheep, and he cares for them, and he leads us, and he calls us by name, and ultimately he laid down his life to protect the flock and to deliver it. And while that's a very simple metaphor, it's even so simple that perhaps some of us can get, nevertheless, it's very profound. In another place, the Lord Jesus, when he's speaking, he said, you know, when he's giving his disciples encouragement and instruction the night before he was crucified, he said that, you know, no greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, that is to protect his friends. And he goes on to say, "You are my friends, and that's what I'm about to go do." As I said, this is Memorial Day weekend, and it's an exciting time of year. It's the beginning of summer in a lot of ways. We've all been working very hard since the beginning of the year, and now we kind of all get to take a break. As I said earlier, we have a lot of people that are out traveling. We have some people who have traveled to come see us. We're glad you're here. Memorial Day, as you know, began as Decoration Day. It began around the time of the Civil War as a time for people to go to the local cemeteries and decorate the graves of those who had given their lives in service to the country. Okay, those who had died in service. Since that time, we've expanded the meaning to kind of remember everyone, and I think that that's appropriate, and it's a wonderful time, and I hope that we'll all think about loved ones who have meant so much to us in our lives, and whether they've passed recently or a long time ago, I hope that you'll spend some time thinking about them, and I hope that you'll think about their service, you'll think about the ways that they touched your life, the ways that they served the community and served the Lord, and I hope that you'll take comfort in the fact that those who have passed from us, those that we think about this weekend, are gone from us, but they're not gone from God. They're with the shepherd. And it's just a matter of time until the rest of his sheep are gathered to that flock. So I hope that you have a very wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I'm glad that you decided to spend part of it with us. And it's my prayer that the Lord will send his Spirit down, that we'll feel the presence of the shepherd, and we'll feel his comfort, and we'll hear his voice, because he's very near to every one of you. It is now. Got this.
I think it's very appropriate that Brother Randy started our services in John 10. I hope to go there in just a bit. But what I'd like to talk to you a bit about today is the Good Shepherd. If you'll turn to Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel 34 is chock full of goodness, let's say, because it starts off talking about false shepherds. It talks about all the shepherds that are in Israel. Now, I suspect that when Ezekiel was written, when John was written, in those old days, that more of the population were familiar with the work of a shepherd than today, but luckily we're in Oklahoma. And Oklahoma is a lot more than just simply oil. Of course, you couldn't say that according to the legislature recently, but there are other enterprises in Oklahoma, and among them are puffball folks. In all seriousness, let's take a look starting in the 11th verse of the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Now, of course, the writer goes on further, but I'd like to stop there as somewhat of an introduction. Shepherds are all about their sheep. It's more than a livelihood for shepherds. It's a calling. And we can see throughout Scripture numerous occasions where God inspires the writers of Scripture to use this analogy of the Good Shepherd in relation to us sheeple. I did that for Brother Randy.
Thank you, Brother.
Yeah, I had a feeling you would like that. Now, of all of the examples of the use of the shepherd in teaching us our relationship with God and how God treats us and how God loves us, probably the most common is the 23rd Psalm. So I would like to go to the 23rd Psalm next and use it as a template to understand this concept. I would suggest that there are so many times when children of God will read Scripture and we get a surface understanding. In other words, we read it, we look at the literal understanding, and then we go on. And I would suggest that all of us that read Scripture, that reread Scripture, every time you read Scripture, you get a new impression. You're not the same person. I exhort all of you to read the entire Bible in a year. And I know that through Bible study and I know that through other organizations and assemblies, you've been given charts on if you want to go from the beginning to the very end or if you want to parallel the Old Testament and the New Testament. But I would suggest that you're not the same person that you were last year. And so you're going to approach Scripture with new eyes. And if it's been a while since you've read the 23rd Psalm in the King James Version, then let's use this as an opportunity to look at it again. We're not going to dwell on it, because most of you are familiar with it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those are wonderful ideas. Those are enlightening ideas. Those give us energy. They give us wisdom, but they also give us the truth. And let's face it, in today's old corrupt world, being able to feed with the truth is indeed a rare privilege. Let's take a look at this in a little bit more detail. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Does God provide for your needs? He does. He doesn't always provide for our wants, but He provides for our needs. And trust me, you're not the best judge of what you need.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Media has a habit, advertising has a habit of trying to convince you that if you don't have this product, if you don't have this new tennis shoe or athletic shoe, They called it a tennis shoe. They couldn't charge that much. You don't need that new athletic shoe in order to be happy. Isn't it amazing how worldly our advertising is? When it comes right down to it, we're getting hot. We're getting higher temperatures. How many times have you been working out in the yard and you've been sweating and all that, and you come in and you just get a glass of ice water? And that water is some of the sweetest water that you've ever tasted. And you feel fulfilled, and you feel restored, and you feel refreshed. And it doesn't have to be in a fancy bottle, and it doesn't have to have a fancy name, and it doesn't have to have all these other things in it. Just a glass of ice water restoreth your body, just as God restoreth your soul. He teaches you what you need by providing for your needs. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, one of the things about sheep is they like a full belly. And in that respect, I'm definitely like a sheep. But when my belly is full, it's nap time. It is. And sheep do the exact same thing. When they have had their fill, then it's nap time. It's time for them to go into that nice green pasture and to lie down and have a little kip and be restored. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Do you know that sheep don't like to drink from agitated waters? They don't. They don't. They like still waters. They don't like that babbling brook. They don't like all of that sound and all of that foam and all that torment. They like nice, calm, still waters. Now, there are times when you have been in your house for a couple of weeks and you really want something to happen. You want a little excitement. You want a little bit of a change. But how many of us would choose that active, uncertain, don't know what's going to go on life, as opposed to one where you're pretty confident that you know what's going on, and it's nice, and it's still, and it's quiet? Oh my goodness. I love the fact that I've got a porch in front of my house, and I can sit there, and I can watch my squirrels in the neighborhood, and I can watch my bunny rabbits, and I can see my neighbors, and I can hear the birds in the trees, and maybe a little bit of a breeze. And I can just let go of all the concerns of the world. I don't have to worry about that babbling brook. Why? Because the Lord has silenced it for me. He leads me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Do you ever wander off the path? We know what God wants us to do, don't we? We know how God would have us lead our lives. But we are of two natures. We are both of that carnal nature that's saying what's yours is yours, what's yours is mine, and mine is mine, and I'm going to take my toys and play. But we are of the spiritual nature where God says, think of others as you would have others think of you. But we get lost and we need to be rescued. And God does that. God does not allow a single one of His sheep to escape. Now, does He allow us to be put into certain situations? Does He allow us to follow our carnal nature and get into what we think is trouble before He rescues us? Yes. Yes, He does. We've talked about this a number of times. For those of you that are parents, you want the very best for your children. You want to keep your children safe, but you know that you can't protect them all the time. They have to know a little bit about protecting themselves. And so when God rescues us, it doesn't mean that he's not going to allow us to fall into harm. It means that he's always going to be there for us. It means that he is always going to be there to preserve that of us which is eternal. Sometimes you have to allow your children to get some scraped knees. But you're always going to be there with a Band-Aid and a hug. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You realize when they talk about the valley of death that that's an actual place? It really is. When we look in the mountains from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea, when we look at that mountain range between Jerusalem going into the Dead Sea, there was a valley that you would have to traverse in order to get to the good grazing grounds. This is an actual fact in geography. But any of you that have traveled in mountains understand that it's a little more dangerous than going over the flat plains of western Kansas. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There is not a single moment in your life from the time that you became you to the time when we leave this body and go home that God is not with you. There is not a single moment of your existence that God is not with you. Others may fail, but God never does. Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. Now, we normally call this a shepherd's crook. But if you've ever seen one, especially if you've seen the nativity plays, because they always have it with the little kids, and they've got the staff, and then they've got the round part at the top. That's what we mean when we talk about rod and staff. The bottom part wasn't just simply to hold up the shepherd, it was to defend his sheep. That was a club. But what about that curved part? Anybody that's been around sheep or sheeple understand that certain people have an incredible ability to get stuck in places they shouldn't be. Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever placed yourself in a position where you shouldn't have been? I know I shouldn't be here, but so be it. And sometimes you get into trouble. Sometimes you get into places you can't get yourself out of. That's what that hook was meant for. It was meant for the shepherd to be able to find the sheep in that crevice and use that hook and hook them back out into safety. Well, Christ made that hook possible, didn't he? The Holy Spirit is with us every single day. The Holy Spirit is someone that we can call on every single day when we get in a jam. Now, does that mean that there may not be consequences to getting in that jam? Oh, yes, it means that there will be some consequences. Just as with young children, we want to teach them a lesson. We want them to avoid those kind of situations. But we always know that we'll be protected and we'll be loved. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. When a shepherd comes into a pasture with their sheep, one of the first things that he does is to look throughout the pasture for those hazards. For those of you that have kept horses, you understand that if you're going to run horses in a paddock, you want to make sure that there's no iron nails, there's no bits of barbed wire or fences. Because let's face it, for the most part, modern horses are fairly delicate. You want to take those hazards out of the way, and that's what we're talking about here. Thy anointeth thy head with oil. Will you be hurt in this life? Yes. Your body will sustain hurt. Your mind will sustain hurt. But in olden days, when you had a wound, how would we care for it? We would anoint it with oil. It would clean the wound. It would preserve the wound. It would energize healing of the wound. We've talked about Christ as a balm, B-A-L-M, as a soothing balm. And this is what we're talking about here. My cup runneth over. Now, that gets a little bad when you're at the fast food restaurant and you've got your soda cup and it's running over. Somebody's got to clean it up, and that's not a good thing. But how many of you can say today that your cup runneth over? How many of you can say that your cup runneth over? That doesn't mean that you don't have bills to pay. It doesn't mean that you don't have to go to work. It doesn't mean that you don't have responsibilities. But it means that you get so much more from God than you've ever been able to give back. And God understands that. And God loves you for that. Because if you understand that your cup runneth over, that means you have extra, doesn't it? That means you have extra. And unlike the merchant, God doesn't want you to store up that for some rainy day that'll never come. He wants you to share it with you. Share it with others. Share it with your fellow Christians and those that don't realize that they're a Christian yet. I am firmly convinced that even with all the terrorism and all of the evil and all of the pain in this world, that there are more folks that are going to be in heaven than any of us realize. I firmly believe it. But I also believe that this world is great at confusing those that will be saved. And that's one of the reasons that you're here. And that's one of the reasons that you emulate God in your lives, is to show people that there is a better way to live in this world because it's based on your eternal salvation for the next. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My, my, my. Our shepherd has always been there for us. He's always been diligent in meeting our needs, both spiritual, both physical. And the fact is that, as Brother Randy said, for those that have passed before us, we need not be sad that they're no longer here. We can be sad they're no longer here, but we don't need to be sad that they're no longer, for we will rejoin them soon. In the Lord's time, we will rejoin them. If you would, I'd like to turn over to John 10. And Brother Randy's already spoken about it a little bit, but I'd like to parallel just a little bit. Now, one of the things that I would exhort you to do is, in your reading of Scripture, to look for examples of the shepherd and his sheep. You'll find it throughout Scripture. You know, there's literally dozens of examples of this, and I've only picked a few for you today. But if we start in John 10 in the 11th verse, again, we'll go back to where you were. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for his sheep. I, as in Christ, am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this field, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. What do we learn from this? Well, it's very simple. As much as ministers and deacons love our congregations, we are human. We are fallible. And there will be times when we do not speak clearly. There will be times when we let you down. There will be times when, through our own humanity, we cannot serve a congregation the way that possibly we might. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit have not that problem. They have not that problem. Hirelings, and trust me, this is one of the best jobs in the world. Okay? This is really one of the best jobs in the world. Because I get to proclaim truth. I don't have to shuck and jive selling you a new laundry detergent. I get to tell the truth. And it's a great job. But I'm a man. The good shepherd is not a hireling. It's not a job. No matter how passionate, it's not a job. He is truly our shepherd. A hireling might say, well, okay, out of 30 sheep, I saved 28. That's pretty good odds. If I were a professional baseball player, that would be pretty good odds, you know. If I hit 28 out of 30 pitches thrown at me, that'd be pretty darn good. No, not one. No, not one. I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ knew what he was facing. Christ became sin on the cross. Now, I know that a number of you have gone through physical pain. Many of you are going through physical pain. You've gone through emotional pain. We've all been hurt. We've all experienced loss. But that is not a shadow compared to the suffering that Christ went through that he didn't have to. God did not tell him, "You shall do this." Christ said, "I shall accept this. I take this upon me. I do this for you. I shall lay down my life." And we're not simply talking about a physical life with physical pain. As I said, he became sin. He became the sin of all of us that lived before, that lived at that time, that lived in the future, so that he could pay the sin price for our wicked ways. But that's not enough. It's not enough that he paid the price for the children of Israel. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. He's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about those individuals that were not under the old law, but came to him under the new law. Under the new covenant, that includes all of us here. That includes all of us here. That includes our children and our children's children until that glorious day when Christ comes back. He didn't simply die for the children of Israel. He died for all that God gave him before time began. That's an important thing to understand. He was talking primarily to the Jews at this point, but there were Gentiles in the crowds. And we saw that there were Gentiles that were good people by our standards. But no matter how good they were, no matter how closely the Jews followed the old law, it wasn't going to get them into heaven. It was only through Jesus laying his life down as the good shepherd that caused this to be. If we take a look a little bit further in this chapter, we've talked quite a bit about the shepherd. Now let's talk a little bit about the sheep. If we're in the 10th chapter of John, if we go down to the 27th verse, I'd like to talk a little bit about the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, sheep are sensitive. Sheep are sensitive. They can tell the sound of their shepherd's voice. Is that the case with us? There will be false prophets. There will be deluded individuals and evil individuals in the world who will claim that they are God. But can you tell the difference? Ultimately, you can. Ultimately, you can. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody's offering you something and you think, I can't say exactly what's wrong, but I know there's something wrong here? I like the word hinky. If something sounds or feels hinky, it probably is. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit telling you you shouldn't, you know, look at it again. Look at it again. Now, sometimes I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised. But most of the time, our sheep are sensitive. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We have hope for our eternal lives. We have assurance that the people will never be lost. And we have security. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a wonderful thing that you go through your life and you know that there will be some stumbles and there will be some hard times, but you have the security of knowing that you are part of God's kingdom. And that's not going to change. You may put stumbling blocks between yourself and God. Oh, goodness knows I am the master of doing that. But I know that God's always going to be there. And I know that no matter what I do or what others try to do for me or against me, that I'll remain in God's kingdom. It gives us hope and it gives us security. One of the great things that I think of when I think of the Good Shepherd, of our Lord and Savior, of God the Father, the Holy Spirit, three in one as our Good Shepherd, is that we have assurance. In an unstable world where things are constantly changing and we're facing decisions that no population in the world has ever faced exactly this same way, there are certain truths. And the 23rd Psalm is a beautiful way of being able to express these truths. I would never elect a sheep as president. I just don't think it would be a good idea. But I would want to be surrounded by those sheep going through life. I trust in the Good Shepherd. I know that he will protect me. I know that he has me in the palm of his hand. I know that he knows each and every one of us better than we'll ever know ourselves. And in that, I can take comfort through the trust in my Lord. I thank you for your attention and your kind ideas. I appreciate it very much. May God bless you.